So while we're doing that, I want to set the stage for you. Mac Rogers, again, our hockey expert, is really, really knows a lot about hockey. He sat in last week with me for the whole show and talked about other sports, which was kind of exciting. But Mac, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Excellent, excellent. How are you doing, Mac?
I'm doing well, thanks. Great day for hockey.
Excellent, it is. It is, and I hope that the on-hold situation we tried, you were able to hear before.
Yeah.
Good. It was probably fuzzy, but at least we got it working. We're always experimenting with new equipment, and it's always nice to know that it works.
Well, it sounded great, and once again, the Sports Buffet have the best and most polite callers I've ever heard.
Well, I don't know about best, but we do get a polite brand of callers. We do.
That's good.
I think so. I'm always happy when people are polite to me. I think we live in an age where politeness is mostly dead, and it's nice to know that the three people out there that are polite are the three listeners I have.
There you go.
So, all right. Before we go too much further, the first thing I want to ask you about, and I know I talked to you about this in our pre-show conversation, I love what the NHL is doing in one respect, and the NBA could learn from this. There is no reason to set a date that your finals will start on like the NBA has done. Now, it looks like since the Lakers game series went 6, and the Cleveland-Orlando series is going to go at least 6, I don't think it's going to be a big deal that we're starting next Thursday in the NBA Finals. But if you had 2 sweeps or a 4-game series and a 5-game series like they had in the NHL, that could be bad in that you have 2 teams sitting there 7-8 days rest and you get rusty basketball. So I love the fact that the NHL has picked up the pieces, and by the time that Pittsburgh would have played a game 7, they will have already played 2 games in the Stanley Cup. I love that. The thing I question, and I want to go to you because you know a lot more about hockey than I do, what do you think about games 1 and 2 being on back-to-back days, Saturday and Sunday?
Well, I think if you were to ask the players, and I guess they're the ones that are the most important in this, first of all, I love it. I think that, you know, the league understands that, and as I've said before, it recognizes its position in the hierarchy of sports and sports fandom and TV ratings and all of that. So they're obviously trying to get some momentum and to get some interest and to keep a few people through the weekend. The players, they don't really mind back-to-back games. They play them during the regular season. Pittsburgh actually played a back-to-back game in the Washington series. So they're okay with the back-to-back. I think where the players start to get a little bit sketchy on the whole thing is that they're going to play 3 games in 4 nights because they'll play game 3 on Tuesday night. So that's probably the bigger issue. But I think the fact that you can get 2 weekend days, I guess in prime time, although they haven't announced the Sunday start time for that game, but I would imagine it's either 7 or 8 o'clock, get those 2 games in prime time, maybe get a good kickstart to the finals and get people interested right away.
Well, and whether or not the Sunday game is 7 or 8, it could be noon, and that's still a prime spot for TV viewing on Sunday.
Right.
So, the NFL has proven that over the years. Now, one of the things, and this is, let me play a little bit of devil's advocate to you in saying they're playing 3 games in 4 nights. Yeah, that's true, but after the back-to-back, they do get an off day, and they're having at least 2 off days before game 1, so it's not as if they're coming in and it's the accumulation of a lot of games. I don't think, now again, I'm not professing to be the hockey expert or anything like that, but I don't think it's that big of a deal to have that 3rd game on the 4th night. I mean, I realize they're going to complain about that or whatever, but do you want them to then wait 2 nights and not play the 3rd game until Wednesday after playing 2 games in 2 days?
Yeah, I mean, the players always say they really would have they would have liked to play every other night. Now, when you add a back-to-back in there, they sort of say, well, I need that extra day. Really, I mean, the chatter has been more about, a team that advances to the next round in a short series with Detroit winning in 5, Pittsburgh winning in 4. You should sort of reward yourself, or at least have historically, would have rewarded yourself with a couple extra days. So if you're a Pittsburgh fan, the way that they're starting so fast, you should be real excited about that. And if you're a Detroit fan, you obviously have something to complain about. because I know Detroit being banged up and coming into this series,
right,
would love to have had a couple of extra days and started on, let's say, like a Tuesday, or even ideally in scenario B, they could have started Friday, this coming Friday. So they would have had lots of time to rest up those guys and get ready for the finals. But well, this is where we are, and I think at the end of the day, this is the best decision. You just can't sit. You can't have a playoff series and a tournament just sit for 10 days, essentially, or a week. If Detroit were to play tonight against Chicago in that Western Conference final, you just can't wait that long. So it was the right decision.
I totally agree. And let me say this: Detroit could have rested those players by losing some games to Chicago. All they had to do was not try. I mean, come on.
Yeah, and you know, there was some talk that would they do that, but you know, obviously, hockey players being who they are, they want to win every time they go out there, and that's what makes them so awesome.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think starting on Saturday is great. The back-to-back doesn't bother me, but again, I'm not the one playing, so I'm not that heartbroken over it. But I think it's a great move. And one of the things, and I know you being a diehard hockey fan, this doesn't apply to you, but I'm trying to speak for the general sports fan out there. You had the Pittsburgh-Washington series, which was fantastic. And in that same round you had, I think it was Detroit, Anaheim, Chicago... Who did Chicago play? I can't remember. And then the Carolina-Boston series.
Yep.
And all of those series went 6 or 7 games. You had encapsulated people, and you had drawn some people to it. You started to lose them a little bit, not a lot, but a little bit, by the fact that Pittsburgh and Detroit were so dominating in that round.
Yeah.
And then now you have the opportunity to gain back whatever you lost by starting right away, getting on it, not losing any momentum, keeping what you have, and saying we've had two teams that have been winning a lot. I mean, Pittsburgh's won 8 of their last 9 games. Detroit, you know, for years has been perceived as the best team. I think it's a great decision. I think the NBA should learn from it. Now, as we have a rematch, first of all, how much of the rosters have changed so that you can say it's not a legitimate rematch? I mean, I know... For Pittsburgh, the big players are the same. You still have your Crosby and Malkin, and I think the goaltender is the same. But there's a lot of different parts around them. And so some of it's different. How much of this will be perceived to some degree as a rematch? You know, new coach and all that. And how much of it is just it's the same teams, but not really so much a rematch?
Well, I mean, like in any sport, you're going to have roster turnover at the end of each season, just in the era of free agency and salary caps, like the NBA and like football. There's still enough core guys who played in the finals last year against Detroit. And really, Detroit's team is pretty much the same with the exception of adding a Hossa.
Yeah.
And maybe a couple of guys that have come up through the minor league system into Detroit to play for the big club. From Pittsburgh's standpoint, they had a little bit more of a turnover than Detroit did, with Hossa obviously going from Pittsburgh to Detroit. But I think there's plenty left there for this to be considered a rematch. I think when you look at the star players and the key cornerstones to the Pittsburgh organization, you know, those guys are still here. They were in the finals last year, and I think they feel like they have some unfinished business.
Okay, here's a two-part question. What can I look to as a fan and say, this is why the series will be the same as last year? And what can I look to as a fan and say, this is why the series will be different than last year, other than Hossa? I don't want him to be an answer on any way. But what can I look to and say, this will be the same, this is why it will be the same, and this is why it will be different?
Well, I think the consistency part here is that you've still got a Detroit club who's on top, and they remain on top until somebody can literally knock them off. Now, Pittsburgh has all the tools to be able to do that. So there's going to be a high level of competition, which will be the same as last year. You're going to have a team in Detroit who's been there before who does not get rattled. The big stage doesn't make them nervous. If they get down by a goal or two, they don't get nervous. They are complete professionals with the ability to kick it into an extra gear if necessary, depending on the situation. Now, I think the difference is sort of the opposite for Pittsburgh. They were the deer in the headlights last year, obviously not having that Stanley Cup experience, being a young club. But the main difference I see is that this year you've actually got both the superstars on Pittsburgh's roster, Malkin and Crosby, coming into the series, 1-2 in the league in scoring. They almost have double the points than any of the other participants on the Penguin roster. So you've got them playing at a high level together, which did not occur last year. It was sort of like Malkin played pretty well and Crosby played pretty well on different nights, and now they're sort of kicking on all cylinders at the same time. So that's definitely a difference that you're going to see, and you've got a much more battle-tested Penguin team who did not coast into the finals as they did last year. They faced adversity. They went to a seven-game series with Washington, found a way to win, came back from being down, won elimination games on the road, all that kind of stuff, which builds confidence. So I think that's the main difference, is you're not going to have Pittsburgh waking up and deciding to participate in the finals in the third game like they did last year. I think you're going to see it right from the very start tonight.
All right, and I think we can agree that, you know, especially if you look back far historically, but Detroit is probably consistently the better team, but Pittsburgh is definitely playing better right now. So having said that, who do you think is going to win this series? How many games? And give me a quick why.
Well, I like to go with history, as I've done in the past, and if you go back to 1983, which is probably the closest example that you could use, a young Edmonton Oilers team faced the New York Islanders in the finals and lost and came back the next year and defeated them. And that's the last time that you've had the losing team in the finals come back to the finals the following year to play the same team. So I think it would be a great story, similar to when you see, you know, teams knock off the big teams in the NFL. I think it'd be a great story to see Pittsburgh beat Detroit. I like Pittsburgh in six games. I think that that may be a bold prediction to some Wings fans, but I just feel like you. I think they're the better team from a standpoint of momentum right now.
Absolutely.
I thought Detroit got tested by Anaheim, and you can say, well, that was early in the playoffs, and now they're fully rolling. But I think Pittsburgh and Anaheim have some similarities. I think Pittsburgh's a little bit faster. Now, it's going to be a real tough test, and the Penguins are going to have to dig deeper than they ever have. But I just have a feeling with Crosby leading the way, that kid is so determined to win a championship and to not repeat the feelings that he had last summer after having lost in the finals. That's a very bitter pill to swallow. I think Pittsburgh's power play is superior. I think they have more balanced scoring. They have an explosiveness, and I think they have an advantage in the goaltending area. So I like Pittsburgh in six.
All right, and I'm not going to dispute that. Actually, that's probably very close, if not the exact same, as a prediction. Heck, I'm echoing your prediction. Now, having said that, do you think, and you compared it to the NFL, I think the NFL, you have five or six teams towards the top, and they kind of compete every year, and because it's a one-game situation, you often have more upsets. I see this more as being like the NBA situation, and I think we could be seeing, possibly, if Pittsburgh wins for sure, the passing of the torch. Kind of like when the Bulls finally beat Detroit in basketball, when Detroit finally beat the Lakers. I you may be seeing that, and I think, and so having said that, because, I mean, I think we could agree that over the last 11, 12, 13 years, Detroit's been the best team. And
I agree.
And looking into the future, the Pittsburgh has the brightest future. So, to me, that's what I think. Now, it sounded like you wanted to make a comment on that.
No, I agree. I mean, if you just look at the nucleus that Pittsburgh has in place, and other teams have had good nucleuses in place, but I think the difference is, just look at the example that's been set. This team went to the finals last year with a group of players surrounding Evgeny Malkin and Sidney Crosby, Jordan Staal, Marc-Andre Fleury. Those are sort of the cornerstones of the team who are signed a long-term contract. And they've just been able to put players around them and fill in the holes that are left from a, you know, year-to-year free agency in the offseason. and they've still been able to compete at a high level. So that bodes very well. Dynasties are very difficult in the free agency market, but if you have a nucleus like that who you can plug players in, similar to how New England has done it, you just bring players in, and that core is able to elevate them to the level that's necessary to be a champion. So first Pittsburgh needs to beat Detroit, which I think they will, and then we can see if they can go on a run.
Right. Now, the last question, and this may turn into a couple of questions, is how does Marian Hossa feel if it, well, right now, and then how will he feel if Pittsburgh wins? Because he turned down more money from Pittsburgh for a, quote, chance to win, unquote.
Yeah.
And do you think right now he's thinking, oh, man, I look like a jerk? And that goes...
Well, he might feel that way if Pittsburgh hosts the Stanley Cup. It would be kind of ironic if that were the case. You know, I don't think he's thinking anything else except what he needs to do in game one to make his team have the best chance to win. You know, that's just how these guys are. They've focused on playing for so many years of their life, it's almost like that's all they know. It's a good story. I really don't believe the Penguins, you know, they may use that as a little bit of motivation, but he played with Pittsburgh for such a short period of time. And in fact, when he was traded to Pittsburgh last year, suffered a knee injury, so he didn't even play that many regular season games. And, you know, the reality is that, you know, Pittsburgh just has their eye on one thing, and that's the big cup. And, you know, Marian Hossa or not, I mean, they're going to go face-to-face with whoever is in front of them. And so, I mean, it'd be an interesting story from my standpoint. It'd be an interesting story from a fan standpoint if Hossa were to lose. But I think in a way you could argue that he not signing with the Penguins in the offseason actually helped set up Pittsburgh in a much better way for having money to spend in some different areas. So I think at the end of the day, everybody wins in that case.
Yeah, definitely. If he doesn't go, I mean, they probably don't get Bill Guerin. I mean, am I wrong on that, do you think?
Well, you know, they gave him a lot of money. They had a 5 to 7 year deal on the table. So now you're looking at, you know, what kind of terms could you come to with Evgeny Malkin? They were able to sign him to a 6 year deal, a 5 year deal. Jordan Staal got re-signed to a 4 year deal, I believe. Max Talbot, who's a great role player, got signed. You know, then at the end of this season, are they going to be able to keep a guy like a Rod Scuderi, those types of guys who, you know, are going to deserve a pay raise having done so well? So Hossa would have strangled some of those resources and could have ended up hurting us. Now, anybody would love to have him on the roster. I think we've always said that, but that's what happens in a situation like this is you use money on a guy like that and you don't have it for somebody else. So I think at the end of the day, it may be a blessing in disguise.
Right.
Especially if Pittsburgh wins, everything's fine.
Yeah, no doubt. Now, having said that, you were in here last week, and I think you can appreciate this. The producer is going crazy signaling me that we need to go to break.
Oh, you got to do it.
All right. Pay the bills. Thanks for coming in, Mac. We really appreciate it. We hopefully will talk to you next week as we talk about the most exciting Stanley Cup Finals ever, but we'll see how that goes when it comes. He was Mac. I'm Matt West. This is the Sport Buffet.